This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The stereotypical image of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD, is that of a high-energy child bouncing off the walls.
But a new book by several local physicians explores the lesser-known world of adult ADHD.
We're joined by Dr. Craig Surman. He's a neuropsychiatrist and the scientific coordinator at the Adult ADHD Research Program at Massachusetts General Hospital. He's also co-author of the new book, Fast Minds, How to Thrive If You Have ADHD or Think You Might. Dr. Surman, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Karen Weintraub. She's co-author of the new book, Fast Minds, a regular contributor to WBUR's Common Health blog as well. Karen, good to see you again.
Good to see you too.
So Karen, let me actually start with you. In a recent post for Common Health, you wrote about the book and the new findings in it. But tell us about some of the more common misunderstandings about ADHD.
Sure. I think one thing is we tend to associate ADHD with medication. And a lot of people who have ADHD do take medication, but even if you do, it's not enough. A pill doesn't solve the problems. Somebody told me that the pill helps me focus, but if I don't use my other strategies for organization, I'll focus on the wrong things. I'll get all the wrong things done and none of the things I need to get done. So that's one of the issues. Another is that ADHD is not a problem paying attention. Despite its name, it's paying attention to the right things. So people can play video games for hours and not get their work done. It's just directing their attention that they have trouble with.
Dr. Surman, I imagine that you've seen a lot of people at MGH
Yes.
who have ADHD. First of all, remind us, is there a sense as to how much of the overall population might suffer from ADHD?
So 4% of adults, about double the number for kids.
Double the number for kids, around 8% of kids.
Yes.
And why is it that in adults, ADHD is often not diagnosed? I mean, I understand that that's sort of one of the things you talk about in the book.
One of the reasons we did the book is to get good information out there about the kind of struggles people have and that there's a reason for them. Because actually up until about 10 to 15 years ago, it wasn't widely accepted that adult ADHD even existed. It's taken developments in medical science to disseminate out into the community for professionals to be aware. But people have known for a long time that there's something different about them and the struggles that they face.
And in the adults who you see, how do you go about diagnosing if they have ADHD, especially if it's not a problem of actually paying attention?
So it's a struggle day to day to get along the way that one feels one should be able to. Getting around to things, sticking with things, staying organized. We use the acronym FAST Minds to evoke what it's like to deal with the challenges of ADHD. So things like F, in this case, is forgetful. A is achieving below potential. S, stuck in a rut. T, time challenged. Some people have just some of these challenges. They may not have ADHD because these are common challenges. But if you have a lot of these challenges, it's affecting multiple parts of your life and for a long time, then ADHD could be the culprit.
And Karen, once that diagnosis is made for the people who get that far in the process, you were saying a little bit earlier about how medication may not be the catch-all answer, and yet it is, isn't it one of the earliest things that's offered to people?
It is. Doctors do tend to give medication first with the diagnosis. And as Craig was saying, it depends on what your challenges are. If you have a little bit of disorganization, a pill's not going to help with that. You need a good calendar system, organizational systems. But if you're really impaired, then the medication may be beneficial. And one of the things I think people don't understand about the medication is that the first dose of the first drug they get may not be the right one for them. It's a lot of trial and error to figure out what the right medication can be.
Dr. Surman, do we know or how much do we know about what effects the medication actually has on the mind of or the brains of people who have ADHD?
We know more about that now. The medications that work for attention deficit disorder increase levels of norepinephrine or dopamine, and these are chemicals in the brain that are very important as part of a circuit which helps people control what they engage in. Effectively, you're waking up part of the circuit and enhancing its function. It's not actually undoing the ADHD or solving the ADHD. We think that ADHD comes from different patterns of function in different people. So it's not that there's one area that we're correcting the function of. It's more that the medicine allows the brain to cope and sort of compensate.
Now, you were talking just now about neurotransmitters. Are there additional conformational or physical differences in the brains of people who have ADHD?
Different findings in different people, which has been a source of some confusion. The reason we think is that there's this circuit, which is a connection of different parts of the brain that works together in harmony to allow somebody to figure out what they're going to pay attention to, the sound of our voice or something that they're feeling with their left toe. Constantly, our brains are deciding how to deploy resources.
Now, Karen, in the book, you and Dr. Surman write about how it seems as if what works is perhaps a combination of medical treatment plus sort of cognitive behavioral therapies.
Absolutely. So a lot of people, say, who are disorganized need some help with that. Like I said, a calendar system is really important. Also, having some way to hold themselves accountable. We've got one guy in the book who said that when he had a battle axe of a secretary, he functioned really well. She kept him in line.
And I feel so, like we all might need
exactly,
that.
Exactly. I know. I felt like that. So Craig has this great term, peripheral brains. We need other people to help substitute for whatever shortcomings we have. And we all have this. But sometimes people with ADHD either don't recognize that they have these deficits or are so upset about having had these issues their whole lives that they get, you know, I forget my keys and it's like, shoot, I forgot my keys. Somebody with ADHD forgets their keys and it's, oh my God, I'm such a failure. I keep doing this. Why am I such a loser? They beat themselves up over it. And that's one of the things that I found most interesting that we see in adults with ADHD.
Dr. Surman, I mean, for most people who are seeking out treatment or assistance for ADHD and receive a diagnosis, are they getting this combination of medicine and the cognitive behavioral therapies or not?
I think not, actually. I think the behavioral therapies that have been developed are fairly rare to find expertise in. Medications in some ways are easier, quicker solution. And what match of pills and skills building, so to speak, people need depends upon the individual. So we really wanted to develop a resource in our book that people could sort of figure out what strategies they wanted to pursue, what supports they wanted to pursue, whether it was medication or figuring out the critical moments in their day where they need to have a strategy and shore it up with a friend and a reminder and just say, look, I'm going to practice this and try to get my life back on track.
Now, before we leave the realm of treatment entirely, there is one more question I wanted to ask you. I understand you do research on so-called nutraceuticals.
Right.
First of all, when I say nutraceuticals, what am I saying?
So
what does that mean?
The concept is that there's elements of nutrition which are really important for brain function. And that would be a lot of the foods we eat, of course. But there may be some which actually support, just the way some medicines for ADHD do, sort of the control circuit that I was talking about earlier, the ability to engage and focus. For example, there's some idea that giving a version of folic acid, not your standard folic acid you can get at the supermarket, mind you, but you know, a version of folic acid will augment or enhance the effect of antidepressants. Mm-hmm. Can it also improve the effect of medications for ADHD would be an important question. There's also some compounds which really seem to affect learning. And one thing that we're pursuing, for example, would be looking at whether, again, not off the supermarket shelf, but a different version of magnesium might actually promote learning and adaptation. So the idea would be, can we take what we know about nutrients the brain uses anyway and give them in a way that sort of allows the brain to have the best chance of some learning process?
You know, I hear how you were describing adults who may suffer from ADHD as, you know, Karen, you were saying they've always been a little off throughout their whole lives. They're not reaching their potential. It's not so much an attention problem, but focusing on the right things. Real struggle day to day. But I also imagine that that might describe a lot of people. And, you know, we've all felt like that here and there. So I guess I'm just going to put it bluntly. What's your response to folks who might wonder if adult ADHD is a real thing versus just a transient set of problems or maybe even part of the human condition?
I think it's very clear, actually, that ADHD traits are very much a part of the human condition. And if you look at how they're distributed in the population, any one of the traits that we used to think of as ADHD is distributed fairly evenly across the population, it looks like. So it makes sense that some people would have a lot of them. It makes further sense that they're possibly there for a reason. Being aware of your environment and be able to like respond to things you see in the peripheral vision could be very adaptive and, you know, useful as you're sort of wandering the savanna and trying to survive. What isn't so useful is when you've got a lot of these traits and you can't find an environment to thrive in. And so what we want people to understand through the book is, what are their options to thriving? Is it that they want to change their brains? Or is it that they could change their environment or come up with some strategies to survive in their environment better? Humans are incredibly adaptive, but they need tools. They need information. And that's where the book came in.
Well, Dr. Craig Surman is a neuropsychiatrist and the scientific coordinator at the Adult ADHD Research Program at Massachusetts General Hospital. He's co-author of the new book, Fast Minds, How to Thrive If You Have ADHD or Think You Might. Dr. Surman, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
And Karen Weintraub is also co-author of the book and a contributor to WBUR's Common Health blog. Karen, thanks so much.
Thanks, Magda.
And to read Karen's latest post on ADHD, go to commonhealth.wbur.org. Or if you prefer, you can comment on what you thought about this story at our Facebook page. We're about 50 likes away from 3,000 Facebook friends, and we love our entire Radio Boston listening community. So if you haven't already, like us at Facebook. That's facebook.com/Radio Boston. That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.